Good afternoon. Happy New Year. It's good to be back. It's a brand new year, brand new day in 2017. Yeah, and just want to share with you about the topic for today's sermon, today's sharing is God's favor for the new year. You know, what do you guys think about 2016? Has it been a good year for you guys? Some are nodding, yes. Some are shaking. Some are dying to have their lunch soon, right? Yeah. Well, I think 2016 has generally been a very year of surprises, right? With Donald Trump, with Brexit, and all these interesting events. Even for the church, we are very thankful for the birth of 11:30 in November. This is a brand new service, just less than 2 months old. Yeah, so this is a very exciting, 2016 was a very exciting year for myself and for all of us as well. And Cathedral is also in the face of changes, face of evolving, yeah, reaching out to people, not only within the church, but outside the walls of the church. And Alpha is something that's very important. It's at the heart of our 11:30 and the Cathedral as well. So do as what Stephen have shared. Please invite your friends. Alpha is a great way to share your faith with them. And they can ask any question. It's very non-threatening. Yeah, they have a nice dinner, really good dinner. It's home-cooked, I heard. Yeah, some Nonya food. Who likes Nonya here? Okay, okay, only one. Yeah, so they have Nonya food, and they can ask any questions. No question is too big, too small, or too silly. That's the philosophy of Alpha. And that's the philosophy at 11:30 as well. Something welcoming. You can feel at home. People don't look at you in a strange way if you ask strange questions. It's okay. Just be yourself. This is where, and that's our slogan for 11:30, welcome home. And that's what God desires. God desires you to feel at home with Him. You can just be with Him. You don't have to put on masks. You can just be authentic. Just be real with Him. Yeah. So this afternoon is all about God's favor for the new year. You know, we look back at 2016 with a lot of thanksgiving. Yeah? And some of us, it hasn't been such a great year, right, 2016. But we have high hopes and new expectations for the new year. Most of us will make New Year resolutions. What is your resolution? Not to make resolution. I know gym memberships will go up at the beginning of the year. That's probably one of my resolutions as well, to keep fit. Recently, I got turned down for insurance coverage because my BMI was a bit too high. Okay, so in order for me to save, to get insurance, I think I need to lose weight. Okay. And so it'll be a new job for some of us. New school year, new life, new relationships, new plans, new challenges, even a new hairdo, yeah, or a new body. Yeah. What lies ahead for all of us in 2017? We look forward to this new year with much excitement, but also, like what Crystal prayed just now, with a bit of fear and trepidation, right? Uncertainty. There's so much uncertainty. But we ask for happiness, happy new year. We ask for fruitfulness. Have a fruitful new year. We pray. We also ask for peace and harmony. I propose that for 2017, it should be characterized by God's favor. It is my hope for all of us to have God's favor for 2017. The example of experiencing God's favor can be found in Jesus Himself. This is from a passage in Luke. The Bible doesn't say much about Jesus. We just celebrated Christmas. Yeah, but the Bible doesn't say about his childhood. What did he do? What kind of hobbies did he enjoy when he was growing up? Was he a good son? Was he, what does he do? The Bible is quite silent about it. But we know that in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, there's this incident when Jesus and his parents went to Jerusalem. And Jesus sort of got lost. He stayed behind. And the parents went looking for him. And then they found him in the temple, talking to the wise men, talking to the Jewish leaders. And in this passage, there's this particular verse. It says, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And Jesus was probably around 12 years old. He was a very young, he was just a boy. But the Bible tells us that he grew in wisdom and in favor, not only with God, but with men. So every year, Jesus grew, not only biologically, right? He gets taller and taller, fitter, but he was also growing spiritually. He grew in wisdom and knowledge. He probably spent his time helping his father. We know that Joseph was a carpenter. And in those days, Jewish boys undertook the vocations of their fathers. So Jesus also, and we also know that Jesus spent a lot of time studying God's word. As the Bible tells us that he was skilled in handling God's word. Jesus was able to cite scriptures and interpret the text in a new and profound way. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus spoke in a synagogue. There was this incident where he took up the scroll of Isaiah and he read it out loud. And the Bible tells us that people spoke well of Jesus and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" So they were astounded by, really, God's favor was upon Jesus. And you know, this passage in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says favor. The Greek word for favor is charis. It means grace, goodwill, favor, and pleasure. So Jesus grew in God's pleasure, grew in God's will, a goodwill, and grace. And that's my desire for all of us, especially for 2017, that we will grow in God's favor. And you know, this favor cannot be purchased, it cannot be earned, it can only be given by God, a gracious, good God, to those who honor and seek him. So I just like to highlight three things we can learn about pursuing God's favor for 2017. Yeah, first is keep God's ways, zeal for good, and the last one, seek God first. First point, what does it mean to keep God's way? You know, we're living in times when God's ways are considered irrelevant and unnecessary. Everyone believes in his own or her or her own ways. It's about my way, my truth, and my experience. You have your own way, your truth, your experience. That's fine. I respect that. So it's a lot of relativism, and there's no absolute truth. There's no absolute way. However, God's way stands forever since the beginning of time. Yeah? His way remains true and sure throughout our changing times and values. God's ways are good and are always the best for us. Are we willing to submit to God's ways? Or do we follow the world's ways? You know, his ways, God's ways, help us to live a life in God's grace and pleasure. The book of Proverbs contains many wise sayings. One of them encourages us to keep God's way to help us to find life and enjoy God's favor. This is from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32 to 35. It says, "And now, O sons and daughters, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instructions and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." So how do we know his ways? For us Christians, you know, in other religion, they have secret knowledge. You need to attain secret knowledge. You need to enlightenment and so on. But for us Christians, we have the most accessible source of wisdom, source of life, source of knowing God's way. That is in God's word, the Bible, and also the community of believers. But the Bible is the main source of our wisdom, of knowing, understanding, and obeying God's way. And you know, I just want to encourage you, especially for 2017. Have you been reading God's Word? It's so accessible. You can find, in Singapore, we are very blessed. We live in a religious, multi-religious society where we can buy Bibles anywhere. Yeah, you can download it on the internet, you can access it on a website and so on. It is so accessible. But how much do we read, study God's Word when it's so accessible to us? You know, I know of this story when during the Cultural Revolution, there was great persecution for the Christians in China. And the Bibles were confiscated, they were burned and so on. And there were some Christians who were imprisoned. But you know, Chinese, they're good at memorization, right? That's dictation. Memorizing all the passages. So there's this group of Christian prisoners. They remember God's word and they recite it. They memorize it and they even wrote it on toilet papers. And they pass God's word around on toilet papers to fellow prisoners. Imagine that. For us, God's word is so accessible. It's at our disposal. You know, we can just tap it and it's out there. But how much do we enjoy reading God's word? Yeah. I just want to encourage you, especially for 2017, let it be a year of knowing God's way. You know, we have in Cathedral, we are very blessed. We have a lot of brochures, flyers, and so on. I've asked Stephen to make this available. This is our Bible reading plan. And you can read the entire Bible within a year. So I just want to encourage you. It's available at the welcome desk. And also, and another program that is starting in Thursday is the Cathedral Biblical Studies, also available at the welcome desk, having an overview of what the Bible is. So there's so much things accessible, available for us. And we are really, really blessed. There's no excuse for not knowing God's way. So you can take a copy of these flyers at the welcome desk as well. Yeah? You know, when I was a young Christian, studying the God's Word was really, it helped me to grow in God's favor, in God's wisdom, and so on. I think it will be a very enriching experience to dig deep into God's Word. You may find spiritual treasures, gems, spiritual gems that will astound and surprise you. And this verse, it says here, watching daily at my gates, in verse 34. What does it mean to watch daily at our gates? It's also about guarding the gates of our lives. Guard and protect our hearts, our eyes and minds from things that will harm and deceive us. What changes must we make in our relationships, in our circle of friends, in our lifestyles, so that our spiritual gates are protected, are guarded? May we have the courage and wisdom to even say no and prevent them from entering the gates of our lives. You know, for us Asians, saying no is the hardest, right? In the past, I visited Cambodia often with the youth and so on, and the Cambodians would tell us about Cambodian culture. They cannot say no. It's very hard for them to say no. They will say yes. So it's always yes, but they won't. They might. So if you ask them to do something, they will say yes, but they may not do it. But for us, I think for us Singaporeans or Asians, I think in Singapore we are more emboldened to say no, right? So if can you help me do this? You can. You're entitled to say no to me as well. Yeah, you can say no to the vicar. You can say no to me. You can say no to Stephen or to Dennis. But hopefully, you will not say no to God. So you can say no to all the things that are not, that might harm the gates of your life, your eyes, your spiritual eyes, images, your gut hearts, you know, gossip, lies, things that they will harm the gates of your lives. Guard it. That's what it says. Watch daily at your gates. Usher good and godly things and experience them through the gates. For me, I'm reminded of the Ten Commandments. The last commandment, if you remember, the last commandment is do not covet. This is a commandment which is between you and God. The rest of the nine commandments If you break them, it can be seen. It's something very tangible. But for the last commandment, do not covet. It's something that is between you and God. No one can judge if you have broken this law. Can you tell if I'm coveting right now? I'm coveting at this at Shane and his Ferrari t-shirt. I'm coveting it. Can you tell whether I'm breaking this commandment? You can't, right? So it's only between you and God. And this is a test. This law, the last commandment, is a test of your heart. Yeah. And for me, this is something that I will resolve to do. I choose not to covet. Learn not to covet. Covet less, you know. For us, we need to guard our hearts not to covet and to compare. It could be not looking at magazines or posts on social media, which may elicit covetous desires. You know, when I was growing up, I was a very chubby boy. Right now, I'm still quite chubby, right? So I had body issues, body image issues when I was growing up. And so in secondary two, I resolved, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to starve myself and do all those things. And secondary two, I was the skinniest. I was like 65 kg. You might be like, what? 65 kg is skinny? That's nothing, right? But to me, that was really... So I felt good about myself and so on. Yeah. So I had a lot of body image issues. Magazines, all this fitness magazine. When you look at all these guys with all the six packs, you have this covetousness. Oh, I wish I can be like this. And as if, you know, to attract girls, to attract the opposite gender, you need to look in a certain way. In those days, we had no social media. We only had magazines and posters on TV and so on. But these days, social media is full of images as well. And sometimes, if we don't guard our hearts, the gates of our lives, we may sometimes allow it to affect our image, our identity, and we start to compare, why I'm not like this, why can't I have this, and so on. Yeah? So we need to guard the gates of our lives. And we need to learn to be thankful. Thankful by what God has given to us. Other than my high BMI, I'm quite happy with the way I look, yeah. But I have to get more insurance, so that probably I have to lower my BMI, yeah. So waiting at the gates, daily at our gates. And the second point in verse 34, it says, waiting beside my doors. What does it mean? It's about learning to wait and be patient before God. Wisdom and knowing God's way do not come instantly. And sadly, we live in a society, we expect instant results. Like for me, when I message my colleague, I expect them to reply to my WhatsApp within 5 minutes at the most. Okay, maybe an hour. But I've learned to be more chill. You need to chillax, you know. So I learn to wait and not expect instant results. And even at 11:30, we expect a lot of things to happen, a lot of results. Oh, we want people to do this, do that, and so on. But I think it's important to just learn to wait. Wait beside my doors. Wait beside God's doors. And it takes time for us to know God's ways. Jesus, you know how long it took Jesus to know God's ways? It took 30 years to prepare for his ministry. 30 years of preparation, of learning, of studying God's word, of helping his dad as a carpenter, and growing in favor, growing in wisdom. 30 years. There is no shortcuts to knowing God's way. It requires discipline as well. So we need to learn to wait upon God and let him pour his wisdom and grace upon us. You know, for me, it's like a confession time. Another commandment that I tend to neglect is the commandment of keeping the Sabbath. For us Christians, we are not required to keep the law, the Levitical ceremonial law. But we keep this, the spirit of the law, of the Old Testament. And one of the law is to keep the Sabbath holy. And I think it's a very good commandment for us. I'm so happy that all of you chose to come to spend your Sabbath. For us, Sunday is a Sabbath. To delight, to worship God, to learn about God. And it's a very important commandment. But for me, because I'm a church worker, I tend to neglect the Sabbath. So I've been reading this book called Emotional Healthy Spirituality by Peter Scazzero. He encouraged people to have a rhythm, a spiritual rhythm of life. And one of it is to keep the Sabbath. And it's accessible. All of us can keep the Sabbath. For me, as a church worker, for Stephen, Dennis, Peter, and those working in the church, Sunday is a working day. So we are working. But we enjoy our work. Yeah. So when is our Sabbath? So I've decided to, some of us have chose different periods of the Sabbath. So Sabbath is a period of 24 hours. So for me, I've decided to keep my Sabbath starting at 6 p.m. on a Sunday until 6 p.m. on the following day. So 24 hours. And what do I do during my Sabbath? Netflix now. You're supposed to delight in the Lord. You're supposed to rest, wait. Yes, you can Netflix. You can read. You can exercise. You can do something that will rest your body, rest your spiritual, your spirit man as well. And basically, it's to delight in the Lord. And for you guys who do not work in the church, your Sunday, as you serve in Sunday school or in the worship ministry, or ushering, whatever, or coming to church, or it's something you delight. You delight in the Lord. And it's something that's very good. Yeah, so keep the Sabbath. Yeah, I just want to encourage you. And for some of the students as well, delighting in the Lord doesn't mean studying for exams, right? Especially if the exam falls on a Monday. There's a great pressure for you to study on a Sabbath. But I just want to encourage you to just release it to God. Study on Saturday, but on Sunday, keep it holy. Keep it for God. Just delight. Enjoy being with God, being in the community. Exercise. Do anything that's really delightful in the Lord. Yeah. So I just want to encourage you to keep the Sabbath, to wait at His doors, to learn to rest, reflect, recharge, and delight. This is God's way, and this is God's pattern for all of us. So for 2017, if 2016 has been a busy, busy, busy year, that's a joke, right? Jesus is coming. Look busy. You know what it should be? Jesus is coming. Delight in the Lord. Rest in God. Serve God. Those things, serving is important, but it's secondary. For Jesus, He desires us to be worshippers first. To just sit at His feet, soaking Him, enjoying His pleasure, His favor, and so on. So 2017, maybe a year that you will choose to keep your Sabbath, and you will know His ways and grow in His favor. The second point is zeal for good, to pursue what is good and godly. God's favor is upon those who seek good, not only for themselves, but for others. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." And he continues, "Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you'll be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled." For some of us, 2017 may not be a smooth year. Some of us will face financial, emotional, and even spiritual burdens and troubles. But I want to encourage all of us to continue to have a zeal for good. We're living in dark days. Every day, almost every day, you hear of news of wickedness in the newspaper, happening around the world, and it grieves us. But for God's people, let's continue to have that zeal, to be zealous for good. Peter tells us that, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for good? Who can harm you? Furthermore, if you suffer for good, if you suffer for righteousness, if you suffer for God, the Bible tells us, you are blessed. Wow. Isn't it a contradiction? I'm suffering, Lord, but I'm receiving blessing. That's like a paradox, isn't it? What does it mean? You know, in terms of eternity, your suffering is just a drop in the bucket. But in light of eternal blessing, eternal rewards, it's like the huge ocean. You know, in every areas of our life, let's pursue what is good, honorable, and righteous. For us, for this new year, some of us may have to make very difficult decisions. Some of you are in positions that will test your ethical and moral judgment. But I want to encourage you to pursue and have a zeal for good. Choose what is right. Choose what is good, what is honorable, and God's favor will be upon you. Who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? And you know, some of us may also face persecution for our faith. In our homes, in our workplace, in our schools, wherever we are, because we choose to follow Jesus, we may face persecution. But I just want to encourage you to continue to pursue good. Continue to be loving, kind, and honorable, even when you live in a very toxic environment. You know, the more antagonism you receive, the more you should do good and bless your enemies. And I just want to tell you, sometimes persecution will also come from within fellow Christians as well. But I just want to encourage you to just continue to bless them, pray for them, honor them, and God's favor will rest upon you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. God is with you. He will see you through. As it says, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? The last point, seek God first. If we desire God's favor for this new year, let's put God as number one priority, and not our last resort. You know, Jesus reminded us in Matthew chapter 6, it says here, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about 2017, for 2017 will be anxious for itself. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Put God first in everything you do. You know, friends, do we seek His kingdom or our own kingdom? Do we seek to honor God? Do we seek to honor God's name or make our own name? Do we seek God's interests, our own personal interests? Jesus reminds us to seek first His kingdom. Seek God first. In every decision that you plan to make for 2017, ask yourself if it is for God's kingdom. Is it for God's name? Is it for God's interests? I know it's a major paradigm shift for some of us. Instead of asking, what can God do for me? How can God bless me? Ask yourself, how can my life, my choices, my decisions be for God's kingdom? How can this new job, new career, new school course, new relationship, new house, or even a new car be first for God's kingdom? I think God will surprise and guide you. His favor will be upon you for this brand new year. So in closing, what does it mean to have God's favor? And this is my desire for all of us for 2017, that God will pour His abundant favor upon you as you start on this brand new year. There will be a year of God's favor. that you will know his ways. You will be zealous for what is good, what is honorable, what is godly. And that you will put God in everything you do, in everything you make, your decision. And it'll be a year of God's favor. We're going to sing a song, and let's just spend this time to just rest upon God's presence. I wanted to give some time to just reflect upon 2016. Thank God for 2016. It was a good year. It was a challenging year. But I thank God that you would just thank God for this 2016. The ups and the downs, the hurdles, the joys, the good things. Just thank God.